And Father, thank you again for this evening and this time together. Anoint us not only to teach, but to receive so that we can hear the truth, Father God, and be set free and stay free. For it's in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said amen. All right. So Revelation Road, we got together last time. I want to kind of hit that. That was part 9, and we were kind of putting some of the pieces together. And so I'm going to go back to my board up here, and let me get this thing straightened out here. And so you go ahead and put your line again, just so we have that up there. I do want to tell you, I've got some good information, good news about the board I've been telling you I've been looking for. It's actually it's called a whiteboard camera system, and it's a separate system that goes on top of the board, and it films everything I'm doing here, gives it to you on this screen as well, and then it goes live on live stream. Wild, cool stuff. So we're looking at getting one, and we're trying to find the right price. There's several different companies out there, and you know us. We're going to get the best price in Jesus' name. And so go ahead and put back your mid-trib, your pre-trib, your mid-trib, and then you can put PT, post-trib. And we're going to talk about some of this again, go back over that information. But, yeah, I was real excited, and this one I found was with a subscription. And we don't want the subscription part. We want to get this thing to where we can just use it on our own. So be praying about it that we find the right thing. Okay, so last time we got together, we were talking, and we obviously we came with enough information, and we said there's the heresy of the pre-tribulation rapture. You know, it's no value to us. It has, you know, we determined that, and you have to go back and get that information. And when you talk to people who believe in that and have that ingrained in their heart, just, you know, be gentle with them. You know, people so many times they lose fellowship with one another. Families don't talk to each other. People don't go to the same church over these different things. And, you don't want to do that. You want to give information. You want to show revelation. You want to bring truth. And then people have to make a decision for themselves. And if they choose to depart from you because they don't believe like you do, then let it be on them and not on you. You know, so don't let it be an offense. Just bring truth out. So I just needed to say that because, you know, I'm friends with people who have a different view, but, you know, I look at scripture, you know, the way I look at it, and this is what I believe the Lord is showing me and showing us, and I'm going to go that route. Somebody says, well, what if you're wrong? Well, then I miss a lot of bad stuff. But I'm not wrong because the Bible is pretty clear. So I just wanted to bring that out. So we talked about that, and last time it was part 9. And so we are looking into the book of Revelation for the rapture. Remember, pre-trib says the rapture, it's before tribulation. And there are certain things that has to happen. Remember, I gave you the keys and the legends. And there are certain things that has to happen in order for it to be a rapture or the rapture. And it doesn't happen there in the beginning as they tell us. Okay? So we put a big knot. That's not going to happen. And so where is the parousia? Remember, the parousia is the appearance of the Lord. We got to find that. We also got to find where is the thief in the night, where is the day of the Lord, and where is the last trumpet, and where is the resurrection? You know, if we're going to have line upon line, we're going to have Scripture bear witness with Scripture, then it has to confirm. I call it connecting the dots. It has to fit firmly together. I remember when, I'm telling on myself, I remember when I was growing up, you know, if something didn't fit, I made it fit. I mean, I just was not mechanical minded. I was not a construction kind of child or anything like that. And if something didn't work, I either shaved off the edge of it, crammed it in with a hammer, but I got it to work, kinda. How many of y'all ever done? Okay, well, you know, when you come to this type of teaching, this pre-tribulation type of, pre-trib rapture type information, you really have to shave off some scripture. You really have to hammer it in there to make it work. And we're not going to do that. I'm telling on myself, but it's true. I used to do that. Now I have my wife do it. She handles it. Anyways, so Revelation 4, remember Revelation 4 is the bedrock scripture, come up hither. You know, and they tell us that that's the rapture. Well, we know that's not so. We went over mid-trib being found in Revelation 7. Remember, that's what they believe. And so we talked about that. But where is the parousia? The parousia is not there. Remember, they came out of the tribulation. They came out of the tribulation. Go back and throw that up if you would. Revelation chapter 7, I believe it's verse 14. Let's make sure. So we're just going to recap, review, get the turkey off of your mind. Some people were tired Sunday. They still had turkey on them. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of, everybody say came out of, great tribulation or megas pressure. Now think for a second. Those are the Greek words, mega pressure. Can you imagine how much more pressure it's going to be than what we're facing right now? And think about how much pressure we're facing right now. Think about the headlines. Think about the constant barrage of information. And oh my goodness, it's just on and on and on. It's an onslaught, if you will, of information and pressure. But it's going to be so much worse. And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That talks of redemption, doesn't it? So they came out of the great tribulation. So it can't be mid-trib, because they came out of the tribulation. Like the illustration I gave you, if I'm coming out of a room, that means I came out of the place I was at. I came out of it. I had to go through a threshold. I had to go through a doorway to get out of that room. Same thing with this terminology. They came out of great tribulation. Okay? So again, that takes away from pre-trib. And it takes away from mid-trib. And that's just one scripture, but this is their main scripture that they use. So again, we talked about where is the parousia, and we couldn't find that, could we? Where is the thief in the night, and where is the day of the Lord, where is the last trump, and where is the resurrection? You can't find it necessarily right there, okay? So looking for the trumpets and the last trump, you wrote this down before. And again, I like going over information again and again. Matthew chapter 24, 1 Thessalonians 4, and 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. They talk about the trumpet, don't they? Absolutely. So we said we need to find that. And so we went to the book of Revelation, chapter 11. So let's go there. Chapter 11, start in verse 15, if you would. Chapter 11, before the first vials are poured out. Now watch this. This is before the wrath of God. Are you ready? And the seventh angel sounded. What did he sound? A kazoo? A banjo? No, the angel sounded a trumpet. It's a trumpet sound, okay? And there was a great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become. Everybody say, are become. Are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. So this is speaking of finality. This is an announcement. This is a proclamation saying, hey, it's over. It's done. He's the king. These are his kingdoms. He's the king of kings. He's the Lord of lords. I can see the angels doing, da, 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 da. You know, they're doing a little cheerleading thing. It's a great big party. It's done. He deserves it. He deserves the praise. He deserves the honor. He deserves the glory. He deserves to be exalted. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Do you see that? It's a decoration of what? Victory. victory. He's overcome the world. He's overcome the enemy. He's overcome everything of every obstacle. And most of all, he overcame death. Is that right? Because he is the resurrection and the life. So let's go further. Excuse me. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God. Why did they worship God? Because of the great proclamation, the great declaration. He's the king. It's his kingdom. He's getting his throne. He's getting everything that was promised to him. This son, the son of God, the son of man, is now being crowned. And his greatest crown, his greatest achievement is what? Us. It's the church. It is you and I. He's waiting for the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's waiting for to gather together his family, to come together for the great marriage. But see, pre-tribulation people will tell us it's already taken place. They've been partying down while we've been suffering. Or people have been suffering. You know, that's their view. But that's not how Scripture is read. So we go on, saying, we give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, wast, and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. You did it. You did it, Lord. You made it happen. Okay? And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. Now watch this. The nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. What wrath? The wrath of God. The judgment of God. So the rapture takes place before the wrath of God. We are not appointed unto wrath. It's not for us. But again, because, is this okay if I recap and teach new and put it all together? It's just the way I do it. But because there's other chapters, as I said before, people can't see it. And that's why we use timelines to try to help it out, because they think, oh man, there's so many massive more things that happen. But when God pours out his wrath, it's an incredible succession of the striking of God, the anger of God. And we're not there to be a part of it. We couldn't handle it. In fact, humanity can't even handle what God's about to do. This is no joke. This is not COVID-19. This is the incredible anger and wrath of God. So it's Revelation 11 is explaining to us, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged. How can you have? You have to have judgment when? At the end. Is that right? You must have judgment at the end, and thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and unto the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroyed the earth. So we have what? We have the time of the dead to come alive. We have resurrection. Is that correct? Absolutely. And then Jesus says, or it says in here, well, go back, if you would, up there. He shouldest give reward unto thy servants. So I'm not going to go over all that, but I will just kind of hit again. When does the rewards happen? When he returns. Matthew 16:27. Remember that one? And then Revelation 22:12. When do you get paid? At the end of your work. You know, if you're a day laborer, yeah, you get paid at the end of the day, but you don't get paid when you pull up in the parking lot. Hi, I'm Jimmy. Give me. No, it doesn't work that way. You know, maybe in some people's minds that's how it should be, but that ain't how it is. The child doesn't get an inheritance until they're legally ready for an inheritance as well. Why? Because they can't handle it. Okay, but he says, I'm going to give you rewards when? At resurrection. Go to Revelation chapter 14. I'm just hitting some of my notes. Verse 14, if you would. Yeah, Revelation 14, verse 14 gives us a little more detail. And I looked and behold a white cloud. Wow, there's a cloud. Remember the cloud? Not talking about Microsoft. Not talking about any. I'm talking about the cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man. Well, it was the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown. Okay, only kings have crowns. Kings have crowns when they're seated in their position of authority. What are we going to do with our crowns? We're going to throw them down at his feet. We're just going to say, hey, you're worthy. Okay? So it's the Son of Man. Remember I told you that was the Weos, the name Weos, which means mature. The mature son. Jesus was always called Weos. Okay? Only one time was he called a technon, and that's when it was told behold, this is your son, talking to Mary. This is your technon, which is that natural born child, the natural son. This is talking of maturity. Weos anthroph is actually the word, okay, which means humanity. All right, so having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. Why does he have a sickle? Verse 15. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat upon the cloud. Now, he's not telling him to do it. He's making a proclamation. So please understand that the angel's not commanding Jesus to do it. He's making a proclamation of what God is saying. Watch this. How do I know? Because thrust in thy sickle to reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. The angel is making a proclamation from Father God that now is the time to reap the souls. Now is the time to bring in that final harvest. Jesus doesn't know the day or the hour. Is that correct? Is that what he said on his earthly moments? Absolutely, in his ministry. We're going to talk later, not this class probably, but the next time we get together, somewhere there, around there, we're going to talk about knowing around the day of the hour. I always like to throw that out there because people go, what? You can't do that. Yes, you can. There's some cool things about Scripture that God left clues. Everybody like clues, right? Okay, then go on. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And then there's another reaping that comes. And it's what? Go to verse 18. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. What's he talking about? The wrath. So he does it. Here it goes. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. It's right there. The rapture, the gathering in of his people, taking them out of harm's way, bringing a member to the place sozo, bring him to the place of safety. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved or to be delivered, brought to a safe place. Someone who goes through misfortunate times, I'm giving you all this as a recap, that they are preserved and they persevere. Remember all this? Then comes the wrath. So you look at it and you say, I'm not appointed unto wrath. Absolutely. I'm not appointed unto the wrath of God. But I will have to go through the wrath of the Lamb because it's in the beginning parts of tribulation. I'm going to have to go through the wrath of Satan, who's going to fight and try to destroy the church and everything that he's going to try to do. I have to endure that. I have to endure the beast system, all these different things. But then there comes my payday. Some people may not make it to that day because it's appointed unto every man to die. And we're not going to get into all those specific details just yet. But the glorious part is, if you make it to this aspect of it, you're going to be raptured. You're going to be with the glory in the glory of the Lord. Isn't that awesome? So we find some of these details now. We find the white cloud. We find the trumpet. We find the things that we've been looking for And it is the same word about the cloud that I gave you before in Matthew 24 and 1 Thessalonians 4. So even the words match up, which is pretty cool. Okay? Go to Mark 4:29. There's some other little freebies I wanted to give you that I was studying after going over this. Look at Mark 4:29. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put forth his sickle, because the harvest has come. Go up one more verse. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. Now go there. But when the fruit is brought forth, okay, he's given a parable, he's given an understanding here of harvest time, isn't he? When it is brought forth, in other words, when it's mature. The church is not mature here. We're not mature at the midpoint. We're mature when God says, you're ready. Think about this for a second. I'm not mature until God says I'm mature. How do I know when I've reached the position of a weos? I reach that position when I'm ready to receive the inheritance. If you study, I don't have time. I've done this years ago, teaching on leadership and about the weos and the technon and all those demonstrations of maturity. But throughout the Old Testament and through Middle Eastern customs, they do not give inheritance to a technon, to an immature, unskilled, unreliable, irresponsible child. It doesn't happen. It goes to the weos. It goes to the ones that are mature. And so there's a timing when everything has been matured. It's over. It's done. I hope you see that. The world is done. It's ripe. It's ready. It can go no further. It will not go no further. This is why when people try to change prophecy, and they think they can delay this and delay that and blah, 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 and elections. When it's done, it's done. When God says the timer and the time has come, the timer's gone off, it's over. Right? And then the rewards come. Then comes your payday. So here it is again. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately putteth forth the sickle, because the harvest has come. He puts it in because it's time. If not, it dies on the vine. In this aspect, you'd be destroyed if he didn't come. Because it's not dying on the vine, you'd be dead in his wrath. And you're not appointed unto wrath. Do you see the connection there? And so, you know, people get all freaked out. They're like, well, man, I got to go through. Blah, 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 blah. And life is life. He never promised us a rose garden. Right? Life has never been guaranteed to be easy for believers. You got to carry your cross. And all of us carry crosses differently. All of us have different issues in life. If we just sat here and talked about our brothers and sisters overseas, we'd be weeping at the altar. And realize how pampered we are. We're pampered Christians, not pampered chefs. We're pampered Christians. Compared to these guys and gals, just pick up a Voice of Martyrs magazine on your way out tonight and just spend some reading time about our brothers and sisters. It's an amazing thing. But there's going to come a time of maturity when God says everything's done and I'm going to do two reapings. I'm going to harvest two things. I'm going to harvest my people and then I'm going to deal with the wicked. And you don't want to be a part of that one. Thank God we're not going to be a part of it, because we love them. Amen? Also in Matthew 24, that word I gave you about the weos, anthropos, is also found there when Jesus is speaking of himself. I think I mentioned that last time. I mentioned to you about the crown. Angels don't wear crowns. Only a king does. I mentioned also to you that Revelation 14 all the way to 19, no more is mentioned of believers on the earth. Go figure. Well, why is that? Because they've been raptured. We've been raptured. But in Revelation, let me see, I got my last note on this. Make sure I got everything here with me tonight. Yeah, but in Revelation chapter 15, why don't you go there, and that'll kind of start part of the fresh teaching for tonight, even though I just added some new information there. Revelation 15, let me take you to verse 21, even though I want to read the whole thing. Just go to 21. Excuse me. Huh? I mean, verse 2. I'm sorry about that. I had a 2 and an exclamation point. Sorry, I learned English last week and just became a citizen. All right. That reminds me of that movie. I become a citizen 2 times. 2 times. Okay, watch this. And as it were, a sea of... Somebody at home was like, 21? What kind of Bible does he have? And as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory, read that with me, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. I remember when they used to tell me as a child that we're going to go to heaven and have harps. I was so disappointed. Because first of all, I can't play an instrument. Second of all, I was thinking of a Les Paul. Judah's like, yeah. You know, something like that. I was thinking of a guitar, but anyways, what it represents, so don't get too freaked out, like, really, we're going to have harps? Yeah, but it's musical. It relates to worship, okay? But look what it says here. And then they had gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, over the mark, and over the number of his name. So they got the victory, didn't they? They got the victory. We got the victory. That's the only other time you see the assembly that is gathered around his throne, and they came out of the tribulation. In other words, if mid-trib were true, then all these things that are supposed to happen this way, I'm just drawing the arrow this way, couldn't happen for these guys. The mark of the beast, everything, which I'm going to get into more detail another time. It can't happen because it moves forward from that spot. Well, they're out of here already. Well, how do you overcome all that if you're already out? Right? I can't win a football game unless I get on the field. You know, I can't win a competition if I'm not there. It doesn't happen by default, so I have to be there. Okay, so this is what he's showing us. Okay, when and where did they get the victory? During the tribulation period. Again, this comes to maturity. This comes to inheritance. This is like we said before, you work, then you get paid. These have labored, and now they rest from their labors. They enter into the rest of the Lord. Again, I can't stand up here and say that's going to be all Christians. And I don't know. Our life is but a vapor. He may allow all of us that are here right now go through this entire thing. Some of us, you know, maybe before. We don't know. And we're not to live and wonder and worry. We just study Scripture and say, Father, whatever you want to do, I love you. In you I live and move and have my being. It's fine with me, whatever you want to do. I just want to serve you. Whatever I can do to help put that crown on your head. Whatever I can do to bring souls into the kingdom and fill up your house, Daddy God, be it unto me. Okay? So we don't get caught up on that. But we have to look at Scripture and prepare ourselves for the days that are coming. And we can't look for easy street. We can't look for halfway through the course, we're out of here. We have to look towards the end. Jesus taught us that if you're going to build a house, count the cost. If you're going to go to war, count the cost. If you're going to do anything, count the cost. And what does that mean? That just means to pre-plan and prepare. We have to. And having, I'm trying to be gentle, but, you know, having such heresy of a teaching, and let me tell you something, there's some stuff out there. I got to do a lot of teaching. There's some golden calves I'm going to have to kick over that are out there on the internet about eschatology in the last days that is going to produce brain rot in people. And I'm just, when the Lord has me do it, I'm going to kick over some cows, and we're going to kick them over the field goal post of life real far and real fast. All right, so it happened during the tribulation time, okay? Now go to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4 through 5. I do want to go there. Okay, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. These are not nominal Christians. Look what it says. For the witness, for the word, and did not worship the beast. That's resistance. Watch this. The witness of Jesus is evangelism. It's testimony. It's confession. It's a moving forward Christian. All right? You want to sing Onward, Christian Soldier? There you go. And for the word of God. So they were beheaded, persecuted. They were hunted down for the sake of the word. Why? Because they hid the word in their hearts. And not only was it in their hearts, it was in their mouth. Because what's inside of you has to come out. Okay, we're not dealing with churchgoers. Because churchgoers normally don't witness, normally can't find their Bible on Monday, couldn't quote you scripture on Tuesday. Somebody help me with this, okay? And which had not worshipped the beast. That means they didn't take the mark. Neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. They had nothing to do with the beast system. In other words, they were not going to bow down and worship the beast. They were not going to follow the false prophet. They were not going to follow the Antichrist. They were not going to follow the number of his name. Remember, we just talked about that. Because why? They came out of that. They were victorious and they overcame. Revelation 12:11 says that we overcome the devil. How? By the word of our testimony, by the blood of the Lamb. And we love not our lives even unto the death. Okay? Neither received his mark. Go back, I'm sorry. Their foreheads and on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, the millennial reign. Don't have time to teach on that, but I will. I'll probably get to that on Revelation Road. So they're martyrs for the sake of the gospel. Again, in this Revelation Road, I don't know where your road ends and my road ends. I don't know where we exit. Maybe we run the whole course. Whatever the Lord wants to do. I don't know. We're not. Some people are told. I know people have told me personally, I'm going to be martyred for Jesus in the last days. God told me. Okay. I'm not asking. You know what I mean? I'm just moving forward. I don't think I want to go ask him. What do you want? You know. But if he wants to tell me, that's fine. All right. So go to next verse. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed is he as a part of what? The first resurrection. You don't want to be a part of the second one. Okay? And that's when the sea gives up the dead. And we'll get into that, you know, the whole judgment seat and the great white throne judgment. But there's the first resurrection. Okay? After the beast system is released. That's why I wanted you to see that. Revelation 24 and 5. After that system has been released, they, which is us, the church, the saints, overcomes them. Okay, let's look for the thief in the night. Let's try to figure this part out. Is that okay? All right, as we move along, Revelation 16, go there, verse 12. I'll probably go to 15. Revelation 16, start at verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the ways of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now we know the kings of the east is most likely China. Is that right? All right. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, excuse me, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Okay? And for they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. Everybody say the whole world. The Antichrist is going after the whole world. There's a teaching that he's just going after the church. No, he's not. He's going after the whole world. He's deceiving the whole world. He wants everybody to go to hell with him. Let me try that again. He wants everybody in the lake of fire. Misery loves company. Okay? But there's a teaching going around saying, no, this is, you know, this whole tribulation thing is you know, it's coming after the church. No, it's not just after the church. It's after every single soul. Even though there will be war against us. For unto the kings of the earth of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Everybody say great day. The great day of God Almighty. Talking about the day of the Lord. So there we have the day of the Lord. What's fixing to happen here on our timeline? What's fixing to happen is the battle of Armageddon. The battle of Armageddon. Now, I want to explain it this way. There are certain parts of the book of Revelation towards the end. I call them mop-up chapters. Mop-up, because when I was a fireman, we'd go in and mop up. We'd just, you know, get out the last little bit of fires, deal with a few things, and then move on from there and write our reports and go on. So it's kind of a mop-up. God shows us things in these last few books of Revelation in part, in out of sequence, just giving us some details of what he's done, he's going to do, and how it's going to look. I hope that makes sense to you, okay? Because if you try to read it, again, in that chronological way, it messes you up. It does. It messes you up, okay? So the great day of God Almighty, behold, I come as a thief. As a what? Thief. There's your thief. And this is just one aspect of the thief in the night. I come as a thief. Who's he coming as a thief to? The battle of Armageddon. He's coming to them that are unaware. They have no idea. They're under the spell of deception of the Antichrist. He's using lying signs and wonders, puts a hook in their jaw, draws them to this place, and they have no idea that the devil is setting them up to fight the Lamb. They don't have total concept of that. And even if he were to use that as a rallying call or some type of war mantra, they don't get it. They don't get it and understand that they're going to be fighting against the Creator of heaven and earth. Think about that. That's pretty amazing. So he says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. What are we to do? We're to watch and pray. He's not talking to the people of the battle of Armageddon to be blessed. Blessed is he with his AK-47 who watches, you know, or whatever. Blessed is he. He's making a statement. Blessed is he that watcheth, because what's coming you don't want to be a part of. So blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Verse, let's see, I told you what, the 15? Okay, go to 16 then. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. This is it. It's the final battle. And they have no idea what's fixing to happen. So the thief in the night happens when? At the battle of Armageddon. It happens where? At the end of tribulation. So if I'm connecting the dots, going back to our timeline, it can't happen in pre-trib. It can't happen in mid-trib. It can only happen where he says it's going to happen. Where he is pouring out his wrath and where the nations are drawn together. Okay? So the last few, I gave you this, the last few chapters of the Revelation, I call them mop-up scenes of the wrath of God and the beginning of the millennial of reign. So you need to have that down. Where else am I going to take you to? Go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 13. This all right? Matthew 25, verse 13. Watch you therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man cometh. Now I'm going to go into that probably next time, because I'm not going to have enough time tonight to go over that totally. But I wanted you to see the first part. Watch therefore. He tells us that we're blessed for watching and preparing, keeping our garments clean, keeping our lives pure, staying out of the beast system, staying out of that worship, staying away from all of those different things. And he calls us blessed. Isn't that good? We are blessed in Jesus' name. All right, so let me show you just a few more things. And then I'll probably give you just a little bit for next time. All right, the parousia. Write down these scriptures. I know you have them, but they're in my notes to give them to you again, just as a reminder. Matthew 24, verse 27, 37, and 39. Yeah, if you want to put it up there, you can, Jen. Matthew 24, 27, 37, and 39. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Okay, the 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also is the coming of the Son of Man be. And I gave you 39, right? And knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Okay? So talking a little bit about the parousia, so you could take time and read those and just get an understanding of that. Revelation 19:11, you can just write that down. And then Zechariah 14. Excuse me. Okay? Thief in the night, just as a reminder, we were just looked at that. Revelation 16, just before the battle of Armageddon and at the end of tribulation. Also, the day of the Lord, 2 Peter 3:10. Revelation 21:1. Go there, if you could, real quick. Revelation 21:1. And I saw a new heaven, a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Okay? That ties in with 2 Peter 3:10. Remember, there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. What what glory awaits us. You know, if you don't like the way things are right now, just hang on. God's got to change everything. Acts 1, if you put that in your notes, he will return the way he left. And then I gave you resurrection, which is found in Revelation 20, 4 through 6. So, we go back to our timeline, and we understand that the rapture brings us just to the place of the wrath of God. We're not appointed to it, unto the wrath, but we're appointed unto safety, or sozo. We're going to be delivered and be taken out of it. We just have to endure to the end. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. The Lord is going to save us. He's going to keep us. He's going to provide for us. He's going to protect us and make a way. So when you look at all the bad things that are going to happen in the book of Revelation, they cannot compare to what the good things are going to be. And they cannot compare to what's going to happen at the end when God deals with the unrighteous. And he deals with those who have taken the mark. And I thank the Lord that we are not going to be here for that at all. Okay, let me give you a little bit of info for next time, because I'm looking at the clock and I think I'm about out of time. And this was part 10, by the way. Is that right? Part 10? Hoo-wee. Moving along. So let me give you, I brought it with me anyways, if I had enough time, but I wasn't sure how my recap was going to go. But we're going to talk about the calendar of God, okay? The calendar of God. Because as I taught in the beginning, and if you're just getting into this teaching, you need to go back to the first teaching we did. You have to understand the seasons of God. You have to understand the feasts. You have to understand the festivals types of things. Remember, I told you at the beginning, I come back to that. So we're going to be talking about that. Go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, and I'll just touch on that while I got another minute or two. But in your note, I want you to write God's calendars, okay? God has a calendar. All right, you ready? Verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day and the night, and let them be for signs. Everybody say signs. And for seasons, and for days, and for years. Okay, so if I break it down in definition of the Hebrew, it means set times, signals, and seasons that are in place. In other words, they're in place perfectly. All right? The Hebrew word for seasons is moed. M-O-W-E-D. And it can be spelled different than that, but that's normally how it is spelled. And it's 4150, if you want to look it up in the Hebrew. And it means appointed times or meetings. Appointed times or meetings. So, without getting too far into it for this teaching tonight, God says, listen, I've got a plan for man. And I'm going to give him a calendar. And I'm going to give him a way to understand where he's at from the beginning to the end. And it's my timetable. And if you stay on my timetable, you'll understand what I'm up to. You'll understand the seasons. You won't panic when it's out of season. We're to be in season, out of season, right? We're to be steadfast. We're always to be the same and to be consistent in God. How do you do that? You do that by faith and you do that by knowledge. When you don't know, then you're fearful. When you listen to people who don't know what they're talking about on the internet, you become fearful. And fearful is never a sign of faith. Godly fear is. And godly fear brings you to your knees. manly fear brings you to Walmart to knock everything off the shelf. Come on now. And so I just had to throw that in there, because when we get into this teaching, I'm going to show you that God's times, His seasons are perfect. The feasts, the festivals that God has, even though they were Old Testament, they fit perfectly in the life, in the ministry, in the death, in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in His coming. And we're going to prove that next time we get together. Father, thank You for this opportunity to teach this truth tonight. Bless Your people in a mighty way. Bless us as we go through the rest of this week, and we look forward to Sunday morning. And thank You for leading us on the revelation road and showing us the coming, the parousia of the Lord Jesus Christ. We love You and bless You. In Jesus' name, amen.